Good morning and welcome to Wednesday morning, March the 27th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, and this is Holy Week. And on Wednesday of the week during Holy Week, we have a whole slate of passages in the Revised Common Lectionary for this week of the church's calendar year. So a whole slate of things, a lot to choose from. I've already mentioned this passage twice this week, so I'm going to go ahead and cover, since it's in the readings today. So it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So I'm going to read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making this part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. What about us then? We have such a great cloud of witnesses all around us. What must we do is this. We must put aside each heavy weight and the sin which gets in the way so easily. We must run the race that lies in front of us. We must run it patiently. We must look ahead to Jesus. He's the one who carved out the path for faith. And he's the one who brought it to completion. He knew that there was joy spread out and waiting for him. That's why he endured the cross, making light of its shame, and has now taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. He put up with enormous opposition from sinners. Weigh up in your minds just how severe it was. Then you won't find yourselves getting weary and worn out. This is the word of God for us. So the book of Hebrews is kind of like this big staircase. And the first part of the book, the author tries to draw a distinction between some of the things that Israel cherished and to show that Jesus upstages them all, right? So if it's, you know, the category of angels or the category of Moses or the worship in the temple, all of these are pointing higher. They're saying, yes, you might have your attention drawn to us, but you need to look higher than this because something greater is on the way. And then we won't forget Hebrews chapter 11, which is this great hall of faith that we've called it colloquially in American evangelicalism of these people who've gone before us. You know, people are named in this chapter, in chapter 11. And then there's just some vague details about many others who came after them. And then the writer is like, oh man, I'm running out of room here. It's like, what more shall I say? I've run out of time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, and goes on and on. And then if you feel like those people aren't impressive, like Jesus is the one who's most impressive because of what Jesus has done. And we've talked about how Jesus took something like the cross and scorned its shame. And the translation that he used this morning talked about how Jesus, you know, it says this in verse 1 once again, that we must put aside each heavy weight and the sin which so gets in the way. We must look ahead to Jesus, the one who carved out the path for faith, and he's the one who brought it to completion. He knew that there was joy spread out and waiting for him. That's why he endured the cross, making light of its shame. Right, so scorning the shame or saying this is going to be nothing compared to the reward on the other side of it. And we think, you know, Paul has the same image in mind in a couple different places in the book of Romans. And I think it's just simply because these authors in the New Testament, they're just not trying to make theology here, but they're also trying to pastor communities. And these communities are misunderstood. Some of them are harshly treated. And so how do you continue to motivate and inspire communities when they're going through hardships, when there is, you know, definitely some uncertainty in the days ahead of them? We draw them back to Jesus. I mean, Jesus is not only the power from which they can draw strength from, but Jesus is the pattern. Like, he's the one which we emulate our lives like, so that we can have a Christ-like life. And so the author of Hebrews puts Jesus up as an example once again. And so I just love this phrase at the end, the way this translation gives it. Weigh up in your minds just how severe it was. Then you won't find yourselves getting weary and worn out. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Weigh up in your minds. I think you and I know what it means to have a clouded mind or to be preoccupied with something that's going on in our minds. And it could be something different than what's going on in front of us. At the time of this recording, I had about an hour of this. Ginger, she texted me. She said that the van wasn't starting. Like, even though the van was safely at home, she had an appointment to make, and she was worried, and I was worried that the van wasn't starting. And so even though, like, I was at lunch with some of the people that I work with, and they were talking about an array of things, like, in the back of my mind, there was like this, okay, so, like, we just took the van in not long ago, so what could be wrong with it now? And should we take it to the dealership instead so that they might, you know, with all their fancy tools for Honda specifically, you know, figure out what's going on, you know? And so this, like, other conversation is going on in the back of my mind, even though something different is going on in front of us. It seems like that's what is going on here in a pastoral level, is that it's not like the writer Hebrews wants them to forget about what's going on or to trivialize what's going on in front of them, but say, no, like, engage what's going on in front of you, but in the back of your mind, like, weigh heavily in your minds all the things that Jesus has done. And I think this is one of the critical things about Christian discipleship, is that we're not those who are tossed by the waves of the worries of this world, right? Or even the waves of different teaching out there. But Jesus, to use another metaphor, like, there's an anchor in our souls. Jesus is that anchor of hope in our souls that allows us not to be carried away and swept away by life's worries or by these newfangled teachings that are out there. But we can truly trust the one who's been there. Like, he walked the road, as this translation says. He's carved out the path of faith for us. And when something new comes up or when something worrisome comes up, it's not that we can be, you know, Pollyanna and say, oh, it's not really that big of a deal. No, it is a big deal. But something, the Christian faith in someone, Jesus himself, greater, is with us. And therefore, we can be led through the most trying of times. So I don't know where you find yourself during this Easter week, this Holy Week. Perhaps life is good and there's nothing much that's hindering your path and progress forward. You would say that you'd be hard pressed to name anything that's truly daunting or truly terrifying. Or maybe some of us, you know, we've got some things that certainly are going on. We've got a loved one who's struggling with something, or we've got something going on and there hasn't been an answer, and we've tried to track down a solution. We've sought experts and they're coming up empty-handed, right? And we got these things that worry our mind. Perhaps we can hear the admonition from Hebrews, begin to comfort us, which is we need to weigh our minds heavily things that Jesus has done, and we won't lose hope because of it. So these things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for Holy Week, where we go through the extremes of humanity. We go through what is the most horrific suffering imaginable, where Jesus is hung on a cross and abandoned, and they are suffering for sins. And we also see the other end of the spectrum, where there's great jubilation, celebration at the empty tomb, and many other human experiences along the way. And so, God, we thank you that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, that he is carving out the path of our faith. And we thank you that, Jesus, you're with us. You haven't just carved out this path and left us to figure it out, but we thank you for your guiding presence in our life. God, many of us within the Winterize community, we have, life is going well. There's not much that's in our way and encumbering our process for human flourishing. And so we thank you for that this is a time of refreshing and blessing within our lives. God, but there are some of us that are bewildered and we are heavy laden with cares and burdens and worries. And we ask that your presence would be with us, that we'd sense your presence this Easter week, and that as we get to the empty tomb and we get to celebrate with the worldwide family of God of the victory of Jesus and the hope of resurrection, we do pray that we'd be tended to pastorally, and that we would be able to find ways to heavy weight in our minds the hope that we have in Christ, and because of that, we can be strengthened in this hour. So God, be with everyone. Be with those who are in a time of celebration. Be with those who are in a time of suffering or bewilderment. Be God for us. Work on our behalf. Allow us to sense Jesus' presence this week. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.